Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
The biblical view of death is an interesting study. The Bible views death as brief, or life as brief and death as certain. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." In Job 14 and verse 1, Elihu says that life is full of problems. And truly it is at times. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, the writer says that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. It is certain that we shall die. It is uncertain when we shall die. The living know that they shall die, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. We know that. How? We don't know. And when? We don't know. No one really expects to die, though, you know. We all think it happens to somebody else. We hear about these hurricanes and the tornadoes, you know, and 500 people being killed in this particular area. Or we hear about someone having a terrible tragedy, and it's always someone else, isn't it? It's not us. We're going to live. We're not going to die. But yet, some of us do. And all of us will. I recall hearing about two people who were retired. A couple, married couple, sitting on the front porch. And they were rocking away. And the man turned to the woman and said, "You know, honey," he said, "one of these days," he said, "we're going to die." And he said, "one of us is going to be alone." And she said, "Yes, and when that happens, I'm going to move to California." We never think it's going to be us. And yet it will, won't it? The Scripture teaches that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27. We know this by the Scriptures, and we know that death is certain because we see other people die. But we never think it's going to be us. There are two examples I want to share with you of men who knew they were going to die in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 38, we find a man by the name of Hezekiah, a great king of Israel, who was told by the Lord he was going to die. Said Isaiah, or Hezekiah, "The time has come for you to leave this life." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord, and asked him to remember the things that he'd done and how many more things he needed to do for his people, and asked for leniency and asked for more life. Because of Hezekiah's life, I guess, and because of his faithfulness and because of his plea, God added to his life 15 years of longer service. And then we find the man that we read about just a moment ago in Jeremiah chapter 28, a prophet by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah was a false prophet. He prophesied to the people of Israel, do not become enslaved to Babylon. Do not submit to their rule, but rather rebel and fight. But God intended that the people of Israel be saved and not fight, but rather would submit to the rule of Babylon. And it was Jeremiah's unfortunate task to be the spokesman who had to tell the people of God, submit to Babylon. And that just wasn't a very popular message, to say the least. And Hananiah, though, was a popular preacher. He told them what they wanted to hear. "The yoke of wood has been broken, like I've taken the yoke off of old Jeremiah here." But God came to Jeremiah and said, "You tell Hananiah that he may have broken the yoke of wood, but I will add the yoke of iron. And it will be a more serious and more severe yoke than ever was previously planned." And because he was a false prophet, he said, "You tell Hananiah that he will die this year." You will die this year, Hananiah. And then the last verse says, "And in the seventh month of that year, Hananiah died." I wonder what it would be like. You know, I've had to deal with people from time to time who've had the sad experience of being told you have 6 months to live, or a year to live at the most. Sometimes they fool the doctors. More times than not, they haven't. I've often thought what it would be like to be like this prophet Hananiah, in the sense that we would be told, you have 1 year. You will be living, or you will be dead in less than a year from now. You have 1 year to live. What would you do? How would you live that last year? I wonder what Hananiah did. I wonder if he changed his ways. I don't know. It doesn't say. But he had 1 year to live. 1 year. I want you to, if you will, please, in your own mind and in your own imagination and in your own thoughts, think today what you would do if you had just 1 year to live. I want to suggest some things that I've thought about and that I would try to do, and then also some things that I would suggest for you that maybe not be relevant to my particular situation. First of all, let me suggest to you, though, to those of you who have not obeyed the gospel, that the first thing that I would do if I knew that would be make sure that I had obeyed the gospel of Christ. I would make sure that I had God on my side. I would make sure that I had been obedient to the gospel of Christ, the good news of the message of salvation. I would make sure that I had accepted that in faith and that I had done all that I could do personally to be obedient to the Lord's will in that matter. I would truly trust in the Lord. I would truly repent of my sins and determine not to live in keeping with my sins any longer. I would confess my faith. I would be baptized into Christ to make sure that I had done all that the Lord would ask of me to do in complying with His will and responding to the gospel, the good message of Jesus Christ. You know, to those who accept it and to those who obey it, the gospel is good news. To those who refuse it, it's a constant reminder that they cannot save themselves, but must trust in someone else to save them. And you know, a lot of people don't like that. They don't like to be reminded that they're not self-sufficient, not self-sustaining, not self-saving. But they're not. And many times people become upset, become rebellious, become aggravated, disturbed when the gospel is preached because they do not want to depend on God and depend on the Lord. The gospel is indeed God's good news. It is God's power to save. It is the only power to save. But there are many people today through procrastination simply putting off what they know they ought to do, simply waiting till a more convenient season, waiting till another time, waiting when it's more suited to my situation. I want to tell you, if you had 1 year to live, you might be thinking more seriously about your need for salvation. The Bible teaches that all men sin. That means me and that means you. And since we all sin and man cannot save himself, then we must be dependent upon someone or something to remove the guilt and the consequences of that sin. That someone is Christ, and that something is the blood that He shed on the cross of Christ. Don't put it off. If you knew you had only 1 year to live, would you obey the gospel? If it were me and I had not done so, I would. I honestly believe that I would be very interested in making sure that I had been obedient to the gospel. Not only so, it seemed to me that if I had 1 year to live, I would make sure that I was right with God's people and God, and in God's eyes. I would respond publicly if I needed to do so to make sure that I was right with the Lord and right with His people. If I were unsure about my relationship with Him and I knew I had 1 year to live, the first thing I'd do, if I had done something in a public way and things in a public way and brought reproach on the church and been unfaithful, I'd walk down the aisle and I'd say, look, I want to make sure that I'm right with God and I'm right with the people of God and I'm right with this church. I want to make sure that I've done all that I can do to ensure that the blood of Christ has cleansed me from sin. I confess my sins to you and I want you to pray with me and for me, and I want to be forgiven and I want you to accept me and I want you to help me during this year of difficulty, because it's going to be a terrible and trying and difficult year. I need God's people and I want to make sure that I've made my heart right with them, my life right with them, and they're on my side. I need them. I would be faithful to the Lord's work and word. Wouldn't you? If I knew I had 1 year to live, I'd make sure that I was faithful And, well, first of all, I'd make sure I knew what the Lord's will was, and I'd study more. I really believe that probably if I knew I had 1 year to live, I would dig deeper to make sure and ensure and gain confidence and assurance in my relationship to God. I firmly believe that. I'm not just saying it. I believe I'd study more. I believe I'd look deeper. And I believe I'd find out what God would want me to do and how I could better serve Him and how I better ought to act and how my heart ought to be closer to the Lord and closer in His image. I believe I would look and find and do what the Bible teaches. I would study to show myself approved unto God, in other words, in 2 Timothy 3 or 2, verse 15. I would grow in God's grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3 and 18. I would do that. I would try to do it, at least, to the ability that I had. I would set an example or strive to set an example in the kind of life that I live for that year. I would try to set an example in handling whatever suffering it might be that might bring my death. Or if I just knew that I was going to have an accident in a year. You know, that may be why the Lord doesn't let us know what the future is going to hold. You know, I don't know, how would you know, how would you face that if the Lord just, you know, said, you got 1 year and you're gone. I don't know how you would, but I know this. I'm convinced that I'd be more concerned about how people thought about me, and I'd be more concerned about treating other people right, and I'd be more concerned about making sure that I set the proper example. I'd be light for others and salt for others, as the Bible teaches. I would try to become more like Christ, in other words, by adding the Christian graces, we call them. I would add to my faith virtue or courage, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. I'd strive to put those things in my life so that they would be apparent to others and they could see Christ living in me. Not only so, I would make sure that I would attend all the services of the church. Now, I know that's not a very popular subject in our 20th century, and it's not evidently a popular subject for this church in some cases. But I want to tell you, if I had 1 year to live, I'd make sure that I was here at every service. You know why? Not because I had to. Not because it was my duty. Not because I felt an obligation. But because I needed the exhortation and the admonition and the strength that I get from worshiping God and from being with God's people. I'd want it. I'd be looking for it. I'd be wanting it. I would not miss. I'd be here. Because I'd want to be closer to God so that I might meet Him face to face and be right with Him. You think about that for a minute. If you had 1 year to live, how would you think about worshiping God? You got 1 year to live, and then you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God and worship Him forever or spend eternity in hell. Which one are you going to be interested in doing for that last year? Serving the devil or serving the Lord? Drawing closer to Him that you might become like Him, or staying away so that you stay in your present condition? I honestly believe that I would not miss the services of the church if I had 1 year to live. You know, a good beginning is fine. That's not enough. I must continue to grow and to learn and to develop and to be more like Him. Because I can fall. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. We can fall from God's grace. And take heed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, lest you fall. We need to be careful that we think we've got it made. You who think you've got it made, Paul says, take heed, lest you fall. I'd be concerned about that. Now, thirdly, I believe that if I had 1 year to live, I would try to be more kind and loving to other people. If I knew that I was going to be facing my Lord in 1 year, I believe that I'd be more compassionate, more understanding, more concerned, more loving to my wife. I'd try to be more kind. I'd try to be more appreciative. I'd try to tell her how much I appreciate her and how much she's meant to me. I would be expressive of that. I would really try to go the extra mile in my relationship with my wife. Not only so, I believe I would try to go the extra mile with my children. To be more long-suffering and understanding, to spend more time with them, to be more appreciative of them, to tell them that I love them, to be more concerned about their welfare, and I just believe I'd be more concerned about them. I'd be making provisions and trying to make adequate preparation so that they might be taken care of and so forth. I believe I'd be interested in them. Not only that, I believe I would spend a little bit more time communicating with my parents if I had 1 year to live. I've been away from my parents for 20-something years, and we've been hither, thither, and yon in the service and then in preaching. And sometimes you lose contact. You don't keep as close as you need to keep. I believe if I had 1 year, I'd try a little harder. I've been trying a little harder anyhow. But I believe I'd try a little harder to try to keep up with my parents and try to keep in touch with them and help them and to try to meet their needs if I could do so. I believe if I had 1 year, I'd be more kind and understanding and compassionate toward my friends and neighbors. Wouldn't you? I believe I'd treat my friends a little bit better because friends are so dear to us, and yet we treat them like, you know, that they're nothing to us in many cases. We need to be concerned about having a right relationship to our friends and treating them in the right way and truly developing close friendships. It means so much to us to have friends, doesn't it? I believe also that I'd try to follow the Bible teachings about my enemies. I believe I'd mend some old fences, some broken fences. I believe I'd try to kill my enemies, like Lincoln said. Kill them with kindness. Said, I know how to get rid of my enemies. I want to get rid of every one of them. And someone said, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to make friends out of them. That may be hard to do, but I believe I'd try to go the extra mile to try to mend those fences that I might have with enemies. And if I couldn't mend them, then I would just go ahead and forgive them, in spite of the fact that they might not ask for my forgiveness. You know, the Lord said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. No, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Where Jesus said, when you pray, forgive your enemies, as your Father in heaven also forgives you. Now, that's one passage where it doesn't say anything about them coming on bended knee and begging you for forgiveness. It simply says for you to forgive them. I think that has something to say to us. And also, I believe I'd be more kind and understanding to my brethren. Sometimes I get a little exasperated with my brethren. I believe if I just had 1 year, I believe I might be more concerned about being more long-suffering and kind and be careful what I said and how I said it and so forth. And I believe I'd try to show my love for them, not just say it. As John says in 1 John 3, verse 13 to 22. And I honestly believe that I'd be more concerned and compassionate and kind toward the lost who never obeyed the gospel of Christ. I believe I would talk with them and try to get them to see that they may die before I might. And yet I only have a year to live. I believe I would use that in trying to get them to see the brevity of life and the length of eternity. And then fourth, I believe if I had just 1 year to live, I would adjust my values. Would you readjust your values if you had 1 year to live? You know, the rich man in Luke chapter 16 did. Recall the rich man of Lazarus? When he got down there to torment, then he thought differently about his riches. Then he thought differently about that old beggar up there in the bosom of Abraham. He said, just send Lazarus down here to give me one little drop of water on my tongue. Just one. He had given everything he ever owned to have one drop of water. But it was too late. And the rich man found in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus talks about the rich man who fared sumptuously and he had all kinds of possessions, did well, his crops were a bumper crop, he built barns and everything, built houses, and then sat back and said, thus now, soul, take thine ease. And Jesus said, thou fool, today shall thy soul be required of thee. The man was foolish because he did not have proper value on things which deserved more value than the head. I believe if I had 1 year to live, I wouldn't be so interested in how I dressed and what I rode in, what kind of house I had, and what kind of all these, you know, these things that we call necessities, which are really not necessarily necessities. I don't believe I'd be concerned about those as much as I am today. I believe I'd be concerned about some other things. I'd readjust my values. I'd readjust my value about the church. I'd readjust my value about the Lord, about God, about the Savior. I'd readjust my values about my friends, my relatives, my loved ones, those that soon I would be removed from. I'm going to have no further contact. Sooner or later, you will have your last year. Sooner or later, it will be said, this was last year. Are you prepared? You need to set your heart right with God. As the Lord told Hezekiah, set your house in order, Hezekiah, for you will die. Is your house in order? Is your house in order? If you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel, your house is not in order. You're not ready to meet the Lord in judgment. If you're here this morning and you've gone astray and gone away, your house is not in order. You need to correct your life. And this morning I urge upon you to think seriously about this statement. If you were to die this year, if you were to die this week, if you were to die today, would you be ready to meet the Lord? Is your house in order?